If you can open your Bible, please, we're going to be in the Gospel of John in a couple of different places this morning. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so we're in a series called the 10-10 Experience from John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." And how do we let people know? This is the purpose of this series. How do we let people know that they can have abundant life? Here's how we want to begin this morning. What put a smile on your faces? Let's just take a moment. We have a few minutes. But think about this. What put a smile on your face this week? Go ahead. What put a smile on your face this week? What about your kids? Did they start school? Did they start school? Yep. Amen. Amen. Pat. Yep. Yep. Seen. Linda. Nice. Very good. Very good. Very good. Lynette. So what puts a smile? Every week, it's nice. Sit down with someone and just ask them, what put a smile on your face this week? Well, here's the other question. What brought on a frown? What brought on a frown? For me, it was hearing that the Fagoni's home had burned down and that they'll be out of a house for probably a year while insurance does the repairs and everything. What about you guys? What put a frown on your face this week? Yep, Mick Gambino, who moved to the East and married. Her husband died this week. Yeah. Yep. You know, it's funny, when we take the time to sit down with people, when church becomes more than just an institution, when our faith is more than something personal, when we realize that Jesus told us to go and share the gospel to everyone, we have to rethink, how do we lead people to Christ? How do we share people with people about Christ? And we have to discover ways to relationally enter into the lives of people, especially busy people, stressed out people, and we have to be able to sit down with people, people who don't know Christ, and say, there's more. What put a smile on your face this week? What put a frown on your face? And so let's pray for those things. Father, right now, we just want to pray for Mick, our friend, and the loss of her husband. I think of another dear friend, a pastor, Pierre Chason, and his daughter Grace, whose mom died from cancer this week as well. Lord, we grieve with them, but what wonderful believers. Thank you for Grace. Thank you for Mick's husband. And we just thank you that in Christ, there is no death. There is now eternal life. We also, Lord, pray for other things that are going on. We especially pray for the Fagonis. And we pray for them as they seek now to recover from the devastation of having a home catch on fire and losing all kinds of possessions and things that were cherished. We pray that they would be able to find suitable living accommodations for the next while. We just pray that the insurance company would quickly rebuild and that things would work out for them. And Father, for us, may we become consumed, passionate, convinced fully that if we're not sharing our faith, we are not doing your will completely. That you have rescued us, you have saved us. But we need to share our faith. We need to start talking to people and telling them about Jesus. So Lord, help us to see, how can we do that? What is a way that we can step out in boldness What is a way that we can overcome our fear and initiate conversations with those who need Christ? Lord, they're easy to find. We just have to step out our door. We just have to go to work. We have to go to the mall, our neighborhoods, our playgrounds, our schools. Lord, we need to share Christ. So help us, Lord, to be convinced that this is what your will is. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Have you ever been rescued? I think one of the scarier times for me personally was putting gas in a car that was on the side of the 87 highway, right where the 280 merges, going south. And if you can imagine, there's just enough space on the side of the road for the car, and the gas tank is on this side of the car. So the way I did it was I parked safely, and I managed to kind of get out at the right time, because the cars don't slow down, they don't change lanes. And I can remember trying to put gas in the car, because I couldn't stand this way. I had to kind of reach around the side and put the gas in, because the cars were going by so fast. And I was the rescuer. And I didn't want the person in the car to do it, because not a good situation. I found this in USA Today from August the 19th. Listen to this. In Beirut, in Lebanon, it took Mahmoud Faldala and the team of 7 rescue workers 30 minutes to reach the middle-aged couple trapped beneath the rubble of their apartment building in the Syrian city of Aleppo. They had been notified a rocket had struck the building, and they had to wait for the debris to fall and the dust to settle. We called out, and this is Mahmoud saying this, we called out, "We are the civil defense. Is anyone able to hear us?" Fadlala said of the rescue operation this summer, "They were on the first floor, with 4 floors above them having collapsed, but they were protected by the ceiling, which had collapsed at a slant." And so this group of men, this group of individuals, they mount search and rescue operations in a war-torn, shattered country where fighting is taking place, and they've been nominated for the 2016 Nobel Peace Prize. The rescuers were able to rescue recently a 5-year-old and his family from the rubble of their apartment building. And all they continually do is seek to risk their lives to rescue people. The group's global following, which includes dozens of Syrian civil society groups operating in different areas of the world, they say that this group of rescuers, known as the White Helmets for their trademark headgear, is engaged in the most dangerous job in the world. "People are dying, and we run toward death," said Fadlala. Think about that phrase. People are dying, and we run toward death. When I think about Christians, when I think about what we need to do and what we should be passionately convicted and committed to, is that today we are committed to running not towards death, but we are committed to running towards pleasure, to running towards leisure. We're committed to running towards our pleasure and not rescuing people. So how do we do that? What do we do? When we look at this idea of life now, that Jesus Christ came that we might have life and have it to the full. When we look at who we are, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. When we realize what God has done, Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but what? The gift of God is eternal life in Christ. And then Jesus, who simply says, "I loved you." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Life, Jesus offers life. We're separated from God. God offers us the gift of eternal life. Jesus came that we might not perish. Last week we gave this, well, we'll talk about it in a sec, but this idea of the great transaction, that Jesus wants us not just to have life forever, but to have life right now. And so who is Jesus? We said this last week. Jesus is the God-man. He's not just a man. He's God come in the flesh. He lived a sinless life. He experienced rejection, humiliation, punishment. He took our sin upon himself. He assumed the debt that we needed to pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. He paid for our sin in his death, but he rose from the dead. And so as we talk about this week, what put a smile on your face this week? When's the last time you've sat down with someone who doesn't know Christ and talked to them? What brought a frown? When's the last time you sat down with someone who's not a believer? When's the last time you prayed for people to come to Christ? When's the last time you realized that there is a hell, that Christ wants us to share our faith? When's the last time we did that? Where are the people that you're witnessing to? Where are the people that you're inviting to church? What are we doing as a church? Should we not be convicted even a little bit that we have received so much from Christ and do so little for Christ? Doesn't it make sense that we, the church, should be people of prayer, people of passion? When's the last time you thought of someone other than yourself and sought to lead people to Christ? Have you ever been rescued? Are you seeking now to rescue others? We need to talk to people about faith. That's where we've been. Talk to people about faith. What is saving faith? Saving faith is knowing that Jesus Christ died. But how can people know if we don't tell them that Jesus died? We live in a culture that is really biblically illiterate. How can people agree unless they hear? And so we need to let people know about Jesus. We need to ask them, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin? We need to ask them then to trust in Christ. It's not just up here. We need to continually say to people, have you trusted in Christ personally? That's what God wants us to do. And that's why we challenge each other. We challenge each other to share our faith. The engaging question. What's the engaging question? Sit down with someone. What put a smile on your face this week? What put a frown on your face? And then ask them the engaging question. What's the engaging question? If you were to rate your life from 1 to 10, what would you say? That's the engaging question. That's how we need to engage a Christless culture that desperately needs Christ. If you were to rate your life, what would make it a 10 is the follow-up to the engaging question. What would make it a 10? And then, if God was in your life, do you think that number would go up or go down? Because I believe, and this is what we need to be passionately convinced, that without Christ, you'll never have what your heart truly desires. You can fill it with temporary things, but it won't stay. And so the engaging question, and then the great transaction. We talked about this last week. If you have a Bible, or if you, better yet, grab your cell phone, because most of us have cell phones. The whole idea of that we talked about is you need to understand the great transaction. Hold out your hand like this. This is your left hand, so hold your left hand up. This is you. This is God. So follow with me. Put your left hand up. This is you. This is God. God wants a relationship with you. God wants to be in intimate fellowship and friendship with you. However, something is separating us. And when I think of something that we always have, what keeps us? And this is the thing. There, you can put a DVD. Imagine if God was to give you a DVD. What if God was to show in the photographs of your life everything you've ever done that you're ashamed of? what separates us from having that relationship with God? Our sin. Our willful rebellion. And what we have to understand is the great transaction is that Jesus Christ became a man, Jesus came to earth, and Jesus took our sin upon himself. So now what you do? This is us, this is our sin, this is God. Jesus took our sin upon himself. And then what does he do? On the cross, he paid the penalty, got rid of our sin. That's the great transaction. And so John 10:10, how do we start living this life to the full? You know, what's your life on a scale of 1 to 10? How can God make a difference? This is how God made a difference in my life. No purpose, no meaning, emptiness, no direction. Jesus Christ came into our lives and gave us purpose. The great transaction, he did that by dying on the cross. And so how do we start living this life to the full? The answer is through saving faith. This is the rescue story. This is the next part, the engaging question, the great transaction, and now the rescue story. There are all kinds of different ways you can tell this. Imagine that you are on the Titanic, adrift at sea. The water is icy. You can only stay in the water so long. A rescue boat comes, and the rescue boat throws a lifeline to you. You have to choose to grab that rope. What would you choose? The answer is pretty obvious, isn't it? And yet, it's very similar when it comes to Christ. Christ is offering us rescue. What do you choose? I think this week of the Louisiana floods. 20,000 people have been rescued from the Louisiana floods. It's amazing. When you do research on it and you see the devastation, it's just catastrophic. The amount of damage, the amount of loss, 20,000 people rescued. And so the rescue story is that it carries with me the idea of being adrift at sea. Or better yet, I love to see on the news, have you seen it? Where the people are trapped on top of a house and all around them are the floodwaters and a helicopter comes and rescues them one at a time. That's the rescue story. And the way that you phrase the rescue story, so there's the engaging question, there's the great transaction that we had sin and Jesus took the sin upon himself, but the rescue story always ends with the simple question. If the helicopter was to fly over top of your house and offer you rescue from the floods, what would you do? What would you do? And anyone, you'd have to be a fool to say, oh, I just stay here. No, I would accept the rescue. I would let them bring me to safety. And so then we simply have to say, well, why not let Jesus rescue you? Why not let Jesus save you? From the weight of guilt and shame, from the weight of burden and mistakes, from why not let Jesus rescue you from the emptiness that you have in your life? Put your faith in him. That's John 14, verse 6. I am the way and the truth and the life. And what are the next two words? No one. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's a verse that we need to have burned into our conscience. Because, well, maybe my friends are good enough to get into heaven. No. Without Christ? No. Maybe God will look at my good deeds and my good deeds will outweigh my bad deeds. No. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father how? Except through me. Well, maybe God will change his mind and just let everybody in. No. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, maybe I'll get to heaven and say, well, nobody told me. No. No one comes to the Father, Jesus said, except through me. What will you do? See, there comes a point where we need to love people who are lost. We need to build into their lives genuinely as friends. We need to pray for them, but we need to ask them. We need to ask them the engaging question. We need to ask them and tell them about the great transaction. We need to share with them the rescue story, and we need to say to them, what will you do? If we truly love people, we always have to say, what will you do? Will you accept Christ? You can't just leave people hanging. Acts 16:31. Turn there so that in your Bible you can underline it. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Paul and Silas are in prison. There's an earthquake. Everything is dark. They light the torches. The jailer comes down knowing that if anyone has escaped, he'll be executed immediately. He's about to kill himself. He'd rather commit suicide than be executed by the Romans. And they turn the lights on. It's around midnight. And Paul shouts out, we are all here. See, the jailer, verse 29, called for lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and saved. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, verse 31, Acts 16, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. I think all around us are people whose lives are crumbling, people whose lives are just in disarray. And they're looking to us and they're wondering, what must we do to be saved? And it doesn't matter if they want to be saved from a health crisis. It doesn't matter if they want to be saved from financial ruin. It doesn't matter if they want to be saved from marital discord. The answer is always the same. In fact, give me a problem. What must I do to overcome anything in life? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the beginning. Until you have Christ, there really is no hope for anything. Sure, you can clean up your act a little bit, but it's temporary. You need Christ. And notice Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Two more verses to underline. After Acts and then Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians comes the book of Ephesians. Notice verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. In other words, because of God's grace, he gives you the faith to believe. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Notice this. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. There is no boasting when it comes to salvation. We're all saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Well, how will the rescue story help you share your faith this week? How will we do it? What will you do? You need to pray. That's the first thing. Without prayer, you're dead in the water. Without prayer, you're just going to continue to live in your own strength. Without prayer, you may feel something right now. You may decide to do something, but if you don't pray about it, God's Spirit will not come in and begin to produce right change. It'll just be an emotional response. Oh, maybe I should try. Prayer is the beginning of true change. Repentance, then, is the next step. I need to change. I've been a believer for a year, 2 years, 10 years, 40 years, and I've never led someone to Christ. I should be, fill in the blank, I should be mad at myself. I should be ashamed that I don't want to share my faith. I should feel. God wants us to share our faith. We need to pray, we need to repent, and then we need to lovingly go. And we need to tell people. How will sharing your story this week help you? Well, here's how we finish off this morning. Bronze, silver, gold. Today is the last day of the Olympics. And there have been some crazy things that have happened. There have been some wonderful things that have happened. But here's the whole thing. Bronze faith. If you want to win the bronze, you need to share with someone the engaging question. You need to say to someone, let's get together for coffee. Let's get together for a meal. Let's just get together. If you want to win the bronze medal, you need to begin to engage people that need Christ in a loving, purposeful way. And the bronze medal this week goes to the person who shares the engaging question, who sits down and says, what put a smile on your face this week? What put on a frown? Can I pray for you? Can I ask you a question? If you were to rate your life on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you say it's at right now? That's the bronze medal. The silver medal goes to the person that explains the great transaction. Again, this idea of grab your cell phone. This is us. This is God. He loves you so much. But if you were to have a photograph or a video of everything you've ever done in your life, you would realize you're separated from God. But Jesus took that sin for you. And then gold, the gold medal goes to the person who can share the rescue story. You're adrift at sea and a lifeboat comes. Or you're trapped in the midst of an overwhelming flood and you're on top of your house clinging to the chimney and the helicopter comes. What would you do? Why not Christ? You have to know the verses. You have to know that for the engaging question, you know, what is the problem going on here? Jesus says we've come to have life and have it to the full. But it's because of sin we're separated from God. When you talk about the great transaction, you have to know John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You have to know Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And for the rescue story, you have to know John 14:6. I am the way and the truth and the life, Jesus said. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's where we're at. 6 years ago, 33 miners trapped for 69 days, 2,300 feet under the ground. They drilled a 5-inch hole so that they could deliver them food and water. They sent little iPods down to them so that they could just stay there. But it was interesting that finally they were able to drill a hole large enough that NASA used, it was something they had invented, this tube device, and they lowered it down 2,300 feet. And the interesting thing is they could only rescue how many miners at a time? One. One man would start out in the depths of the earth, and they would slowly bring him up and take him out. And then down. And then they would say, okay, who's next? Each person had to choose to be rescued. 33 men were trapped. How many men chose to be rescued? 33. No one was forced. They all chose to. In the same way, what do we do? Will you choose to share your faith? You may be the only one. You may be afraid. You may be frightened. You may have never done it before. But the thing is this, we need to understand that one soul at a time needs to be rescued. And what will we do as a church? Pat, come on up. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you that you have given us so much. You have given us incredible blessing. You have given us incredible freedom to share our faith, and yet we take that freedom for granted. You have given us so much. In fact, may we spend time just realizing that without Christ, what would we have? Christ is the foundation of our home. Christ is the foundation of our marriage. Christ is the foundation of our family. And yet, how many people have each of us led to Christ? How many of us have shared Christ with people? Lord, we know that you are sovereign. We know that you work in hearts. But Lord, I pray that as a church, we would realize we need to be praying for people to come to Christ. We need to just be engaging people. We need to just be sowing seed as Jesus taught. That we need to pray that seed would fall in places where it could take root and grow and flourish. And so, Lord, help us right now. Help us to commit to wanting to do more than just selfishly have Christ to ourselves. Help us to realize that we need to prayerfully think of ways to build relationships and talk to people and just find out that people here in this valley have so much and yet so little when it comes to eternity. So Lord, help us, I pray. Help us to trust you. Help us to realize that you want us to share our faith. In your Son's name we ask. Amen.